Imim divrei akoid min ikker. It's okay, don't worry about it. Ve'ahayu lomdim mehem u'mechadshim en yonam. Ve'ikarim ha'mekubolim. Lo'nechu kubolim. So, we said that after Yeshua died, it passed on to the next generations, and the Chachmei of each door would take the words of the earlier, but they didn't make those ikker. And then they would learn based on that, and the Mechadesh Nu and Yanim, the Karma Mekubalim, were not Nechlaku Alav. They didn't argue Aleihem. They didn't argue Bohem. They didn't argue regarding the halachos that were previously accepted by earlier Doros. Adi Giazman Anshe Knesset HaGadola, Vehem, Chagai, Zecharia, Malachi, Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Azaria, Ezra, Sofer, Nechemia ben Chachlia. Mordechai is Rubavel ben Shaltiel. Now, I'm just going to make a ha'ara here. Does he say it in the bottom? No. Maybe someone else, the footnotes. If I remember correctly, I think there's a discussion in the Gemara if Zerubbabel is Nehemiah, no. Is there a footnote in anyone no. else on the other edition? No. Oh, where's Freilich? He even told me he's coming tonight.
We'll sit in silence and wait.
Okay. Anyway, I think that the Rambam here is picking a side in a machlokas. I'm forgetting right now who it is. I'm blanking. There's a discussion if Nehemiah is really Azaria or Nehemiah is really Zerubbabel. And here the Rambam lists them as two separate individuals, so it's clear that he doesn't hold like that shita. But I don't remember the shitas right now, so we'll have to come back to that. And included with these individuals, including Mordechai HaYehudi, included with them were the additional Rabbanim that reached the number of 120. Min HaCheresh V'HaMesager V'Dei Mehen. This is the Gemara in Gittin tells us that these were different. HaCheresh V'HaMesager are words that are used as... what's that word? It's like a... these are words that we use that really represent types of Talmidei Chachamim. And... V'hizbonenu gam heim kasher osu akodmim lahem v'gazru gezeros v'skinu takanos. And each of these Rabbanim, each of these batei din from generation to generation, would A, learn up bi'iyun the new shilas that arose, and... they would be gozer gezeros, and they would be mitakein takanos. What's the difference between a gezer and a takana?
One's temporary. To be machiv an avera.
Takana's permanent.
A gezerah is to prevent a problem. A takana is to fix a problem. So if they see something's going to happen, they make a gezerah, shema, something will happen. They make a takana when there's already a problem in society and Jewish culture, and they make a takana in order to fix the problem. Okay. V'ha'achor min ha'chabura ha'tohoira ha'hi hu'reishas ha'chochomim ha'nizkochim b'mishne. The last in this illustrious chain of Talmidei Chachamim is he who's mentioned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Shimon HaTzadik, ha'yakoyin gadol b'dor ahu. וכאשר הגיע הזמן אחריהם אל רבנו הקדוש, שלום ושלום, והוא יחד בדורו ויחד בזמנו. And Shimon HaTzadik is the very beginning of the, after him begins the Zugos. Right, we have Chazal, Ben Anshe Knesset HaGadola, maybe it's Pench that we mentioned here. Sorry, not Chazal, excuse me. We have the Nevi'im, Chagai Zechariah Malachi, the end of the Nevi'im. And then we have Anshe Knesset HaGadola. And then, after Anshe Knesset HaGadola, we have the Zugos. So right after Shimon HaTzadik, and this is something good for you to write on the side of your page, you have Nevi'im, Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, ending with Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Those are the Nevi'im. After the Nevi'im, you have Anshe Knesset HaGadola. Now, these last Nevi'im were members of Anshe Knesset HaGadola, but that was the Great Assembly, the men of the Great Assembly. After the Anshe Knesset HaGadola, the last being Shimon HaTzadik, Mishiyare Anshe Knesset HaGadola, you have the Zugos. And after the Zugos, you have the Tanoim. Okay?
Who are the Zugos?
The Zugos were the pairs. Ones, yeah. The pairs. They were the Nasi and the Roshav Bezdin. So, for instance, Hillel and Shammai were Zugos. Those were the leaders. The religious leaders of the Jews at that time were two. There were two positions, the Av Beis Din and the Nasi. Okay, perhaps. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is going to be after the Zugos. Okay, perhaps.
Who are
after the Zugos? After the Zugos, the Tanoim. Okay.
Shimon HaTzadik was one of those.
So Shimon HaTzadik was, well, I don't know if he had a, I think he was right before, after him became the Zugos.
You wanted to check the Masakot? The
Ramam? I'll check it later. Ukashir Giyaz Manachorem El Rabbeinu HaKadosh, eventually we got to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who's Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the end of the Tanoim, the one who compiled the Mishnayos. Hu Yochid B'dori Ve'echad B'zmano, he was the Gadol Ador. Ish shenimtzu bo kol hachamudos v'hamidos atovos ad shezochar b'hem etzal anshei dor lekroso Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was a person who had so many midos tovos and so many milos that everybody just called him the Kadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. In general, with Rishonim, and even perhaps before, but certainly with Rishonim, when someone's referred to as HaKadosh, it means one of two things. Either that he was very, very pious, known for his piety, or that he died al-Kiddush Hashem. Many Rishonim refer to as HaKadosh, that means they died al-Kiddush Hashem. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, though, is referred to this because of his milus. Ushmo Yehuda, and his name was Yehuda. Yehuda Anasi. V'hoye b'chochmo v'mayla b'tachlisan k'mo she'amru, miyemos Moshe v'ad Rebbe lo ra'inu Torah gedula b'makom echad. From Moshe, all the way until Rebbe, and you now know in a very broad sense this relationship from Moshe to Rebbe. He was at the epitome of Chassidus, not 18th century Polish Chassidus, but Chassidus, Chesed. He was a person who had tremendous piety and Chesed. Anova, Harchokas Hatanugim. He was a person who distanced Ta'anugim, luxuries. When Rebbe died, that was the end of Anava and Yerushchet. What does it mean? It was the end. It means that nobody matched him. Can I ask you to run and grab a Rambam Perek Aleph, Sefer, Volume 1 of the Rambam. Volume 1 of the Rambam.
Take it from
buy my Makom if you want. There's two volumes. Grab the Volume 1. Yes.
When he says that Rabbi represented Harchakara Ta'anukim, does that mean that Rambam is supporting asceticism?
So that's a good question. The Rambam, in general, is looked at as one who doesn't, in general, distance asceticism, meaning a person who doesn't indulge in physical pleasure, because of his shita regarding the Nazir, where the Rambam takes a more negative approach to the Nazir than the Ramban, who is very proud of the Nazir. The truth is that the Rambam, there's certainly a stream, thank you very much, a stream within the Rambam of a tendency towards asceticism. My personal analysis of it is that we live in a culture that is so not ascetic that the Rambam's asceticism to us is like, whoa, that's ascetic. But he thought, from his perspective, he was being moderate because he thinks it's a davar pashut that a person should not live luxurious. The question is, how much of an ascetic should a person be? Should he like not eat for days and sleep? And you know, he speaks about like wearing like woolly clothing that's uncomfortable. Like, so that he thought was an extreme, and he didn't think that was healthy. Mm-hmm. But the idea that a person would, you know, the example I always love to bring, and I don't mean this critically of anybody, because I know that there are many reasons why a person would do it for good reasons. But if we're speaking just completely theoretically. We all know, this is my favorite example, that a Toyota Camry and a Lexus is basically the same car. There's certain things that they add, and it's made by the same people, and it's the same body car. Okay, I know that the Lexus has some advantages to it, and it certainly has a better name, but, you know, if you really just need a car, so a Camry's going to do a pretty good job. Now, there are many reasons. A person, because of his business, might need a Lexus, because he's going to be going to meetings with clients, and You know, come on, what kind of lawyer doesn't have a Lexus? Like, how can you show up with a, you know, in a broken down Honda? I understand. I'm not being critical of, but for the Rambam, you have to realize that for him, the idea that we would live in like a mansion and have like a swimming pool, like I have a feeling that for him, that wasn't even Baba Cheshbon. That was definitely not, you know. And when he told you like to distance Ta'anugim, he didn't see that as like, oh gosh, I'm being so ascetic. Mm-hmm. He was looking at it as like, of course, that's how a religiously devout person lives. So sometimes hard to understand where the Rishonim are coming from because, and I'm not being critical of the way we live. This is the, many of us live in a way that people, you know, a couple hundred years ago would think like we're living like kings. And based on our surroundings, we're not living like kings. This is the, we might even be below the average in, you know, in our, some of our communities. But it's still, you know, so everything's relative. Okay. You know, let's even just say it like this. He says to be marchik ta'anugim. So ta'anugim are luxuries. So a luxury is going to be, you know, if I ask you what's a luxury, if I told you that like having an omelet for breakfast, an orange, fresh squeezed orange juice, was living luxuriously, you'd think I'm crazy. Now, certainly, if you lived 500 years ago, that's certainly fresh squeezed orange juice and an omelet is certainly luxurious. Like, what? And, you know, so, but for us, that's not considered living luxurious. So, and it depends where you live. So, like, you know, for instance, in certain places, to have chicken or meat for dinner is like a real luxury. And in certain places, that's just standard. That's the way you eat. So, he says this is luxury. So I would translate it that you have to look at what's in your culture, what's considered luxurious. And the Rambam is encouraging to stay away from luxuries because of what he feels the negative impacts it has on the soul. And therefore, it's always a relative question.
Yeah. If luxury is based on the minhag hamakom, then could there be one day where everyone has mansions and it's not considered luxurious?
So, right. If you were brought up and you live in... you know, in Beverly Hills. So what a house that you and I might look at and say, like, wow, that's a mansion, that might be living very simple for their standards, for our standards of Beverly Hills. That might be, you know, like, so part of it, a lot of it has to do with standards and where people come from and where they're going and yeah.
So isn't, especially about how the Rambam necessarily says that it's so incredible to be marchik from. So anyway, he's just explaining, based on the Gemara, that he was. He's not
but
saying.
But he's saying that he was such a perfect person. Not perfect. That's not the right word. But he says he was chachma b'maylos tachli. So he's clearly looking up to him and praising. He's choosing things that he's praising. Like he might have had a brown beard. He doesn't say, and he had a brown beard.
And many of us would look at, you know, Gedolim and say, wow, look how they're, like Rav Chaim Kanievsky lives such a simple life.
Right.
That doesn't mean necessarily that we would say that each and every one of us should also start living.
No, but it might mean that on some religious level it's an ideal. There's a religious ideal, even though we wouldn't necessarily encourage, as a Rebbe, I wouldn't necessarily encourage a Talmud to live that way. But at the same time, a Talmud could appreciate that there's an ideal there. I was just talking to you tonight about Maseil Shisharm. That the Chazon Ish writes that Nikias is from Nikias and on in Maseil Shisharim is beyond what we can level that we can get to. So the obvious question is then why do we learn it? The reason we learn it is because there are ideals there that you can inculcate into your life without necessarily becoming the textbook Maseil Shisharim Chassid or Naki or whatever he's describing there. It's true, we can't necessarily, Menachem's not going to tomorrow, like, necessarily, because he's reading the Sefer, become, like, Mr. Nucky of Mr. Clean. Right? Mr. Clean, right? He's not going to become Mr. Clean because he's read Maseil Shisharim, but it doesn't mean that there aren't things in Maseil Shisharim. You know, it's like the guy who's in the gym. And he's got a little bit of flab, and he's not in the best shape, but in the gym, he's got a picture of some, like, really ripped guy. Why? Because, like, he knows he's never going to look like that, but that's, like, when it's getting rough to pick up the dumbbells, that's like his, you know, it's a reason, it's an argument to put Gedolim pictures on your wall. Not because our educational model is necessarily that we feel everybody has to be Revel Yashiv, and if you don't become Revel Yashiv, you're a failure. But we put Revel Yashiv on the wall because, you know what, there are things about him that are, just like a kid puts Michael Jordan on the wall. Right? I grew up with Michael Jordan on my wall. Okay, that was my door. I grew up with Michael Jordan and Yaromir Yager on my wall. So now why, when I woke up, did I look at Michael Jordan and Yaromir Yager? Right state, at least, right? Michael Jordan and Jaromir Jagr. He was a hockey player from Pennsylvania. Oh. So, I mean, from Czechoslovakia, but he was paid by Pennsylvania. So, why do we put them up on the wall? Not because we think we're next. Not because we necessarily think we're going to become Michael Jordan. The reason we do it is because there's certain things about Michael Jordan that we aspire. Who everybody wants to be like Mike. So there's things that we aspire to, right? So the same thing. You can have it over Yosheva on your wall, and it doesn't mean, you know, there's a video. Not that you should go onto YouTube right after this year, but there's a video on YouTube of someone meeting with Rav Steinman. What's amazing about the video is not the meeting. What's amazing is if you look around his room, so you see that, like, the walls are, like, bare. It's, like, really very basic. Such a basic life. And it doesn't mean that, by me pointing that out to you, that means that I think you should be living that in that bare walls. I'm not saying that you should live that way. But it doesn't mean that there isn't some type of ideal. We don't have to feel like, either to say, like, either I have to become like that or I postulate. We don't have to postulate. We could still take from that and make it part of who we are, to a degree, and realize that there's an ideal there, even if that's not necessarily even what we're striving for, because that's not where we're holding right now.
But is there really an ideal? Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the world to, it's like this famous story where I think the stapler, you go to the Alps.
Right, they say it with a lot of people.
Okay, whatever it is.
So there's a difference between appreciating Hashem's Bria, that the Rambam says you definitely have to do, and living a luxurious life. Right, there's a big difference between those two things. It actually says about Rebbe that his table was filled with delicacies. And yet, it says that when he got up to Shemayim, he said to Hashem that he never was nana at all. It's a Tosfos in Ksubis. Oh yeah, there you go. It's a Tosfos in Ksubis. It's a discussion in Ksubis, but Tosfos asks the question from how can you say that he was never nana el Etzba Katana, even Etzba Katana. What do you mean? It says that it lo pasko mishulchano, tznon, and all these different delicacies. So, there's definitely, it's Yerushalmi that you're talking about, that Hashem is going to take us to task for all of the things that He created that we weren't nena from, the positive thing, all the things that He created. That's why, so there's obviously, it's sophisticated. It's not yes, no. It's not live a life of nothing and there's no value to anything in the world. I'm not saying that. That's like a Stoic, I think, or a, you know, certainly like a, not a, like a more of like a Hindu like approach of like, negate everything and nothing. Well, even that's a little bit right, but there's even more extreme in Eastern religions about how nothing is any value and your whole purpose in life is to disconnect yourself completely from reality. And we certainly don't. And we have ideas of Simchas Chasam V'Kala and to have a Bayis Noah and Marchivan Daito Shel Adam if a person has a nice house. But we have to be able to be sophisticated enough to realize that not everything in life is black and white. It's not live simply and all, you know, nice things are treif. And so too the opposite, that everything nice is amazing and all these people who live on nothing is ridiculous. We have to realize that there's, sometimes you have in life two values that on the surface level seem to be at odds with each other, and yet that's part of the complexity of religious life, of being able to live with opposites and live with things that pull at you in different directions. So at the same time, to want a comfortable life and to experience the Bria that Hashem created, and at the same time to have an idea of histapkos, to get by on less, is also an ideal. And how do those two things jive? You're right, that's a balance, and that's something that needs to be, you know, and for different people, the balance between the two is going to be, it's a very quick, it's an easy reaction to just grab one way and push away the other way. To grab one extreme. To live an extreme, no matter which way you go, is easy. What's complicated, and this is a lot of the Rav's writings circle around this idea, the ability to be able to take opposing things and allow them to coexist. And that's a very big challenge, and it's something that's very, very hard. Okay. Now that I just mentioned Rav Steinman, I'll tell you a story that I like a lot about him, that I was told that once... although I just heard this recently, so maybe you guys heard it also, because I probably heard it in the same place you did, but I heard it before that. That's an old story that they say, that he was once going to America. I told you guys heard the story? Steinman was going to America, and all the Talmidim were like running around. Two stories I'm going to tell you. Story number one. So Steinman was once packing for a trip to America. It was like a fundraising trip or something, a chizuk trip, and speaking in places and doing some fundraising, and his Talmidim were like freaking out, like getting the suitcase packed. And he said to them, like, you know, like, and the right things, and he saw they were getting stressed out, and he said, what's the problem? He said, we're going to America, okay? America has a lot of things for sale. A lot of things you can't get in Israel, you can get in America. If we forgot something, and I don't think it was like his shaver, but like whatever, you know, like if we forgot a pair of socks, so later we can buy it in America. You know, like we'll buy it when we're there. We'll go to a super, you know, a mall and buy something. We don't have to go crazy. And he said, and look, I'm only going to America for a week, and I can get there whatever I need. We can go into a store and get whatever I need. And you guys are going so crazy to make sure the suitcase is perfect. What about, ultimately, we're going up to Shemayim, and you can't get any more mitzvahs. You can't get any more zechuyos once you're up in Shemayim. He said, how come we're not as concerned about packing our bag? Where's our suitcase for Shemayim? It's one story. It's a nice story. One other story. This is another story. Chafetz Chaim was once visited by a very wealthy individual who came to him and was discussing something with him, whatever. So he said to the Chafetz Chaim, he said, like, with all due respect, Rabbi, you know, your house is pretty, like, you know, paint's chipping, it's like a little bit run down, like, you know, it's like, it's not so geschmack. You know, you really should have, like, you know, like, where's all your stuff? So the Chafetz Chaim said back to him, well, where's all your stuff? You don't have any nice furniture. So he said, well, I'm traveling. So the Chafetz Chaim said, so am I. Okay. Hakdamas HaRambam. All right.
It's very dramatic.
It's a cute story. Okay. I mean, it's a nice story. Anyway, just wanted to point out to you, in the Rambam's Hakdama to Mishneh Torah, Rambam's Hakdama to the Mishneh Torah, right? This reading is Hakdama to his Parish and Mishnah. He also wrote a Hakdama to the Mishneh Torah. That's it. Three pages, what?
He wrote a Parish in the entire Mishnah.
That's what we're reading right now.
I know. He read that. We're reading the introduction to that.
Right. This is Hakdama to the whole... Oh, you mean, did he write a parish to the whole Mishnah? Yes, he wrote a parish to the whole Mishnah. When he was like in his 20s.
Travel, and he was running from gulls to gulls.
Right. But this is the Rambam's Hakdama to Mishnah Torah. We should be Zocha. Amen. So, the Rambam here... Listen, I already passed my 20s, but you guys still have a chance. You guys still have a chance. Okay. So, the Rambam here... The Rambam here says... And I'm going to read it to you very, very quickly, but just, he tells you actually here the whole line of Mesorah until Rebbe. We just said the Mesorah from Moshe to Rebbe. He actually tells you the whole thing. Ready? I'm going to tell it to you right now very quickly. Listen to this. He says, Yehoshua learned from Moshe, and the Zakenim kiblu me Yehoshua. If you want, you can write. If you can write really fast, you can write it. And Eli HaKohen learned from the Zakenim, Mipinchas. And Shmuel Hanavi was Kibel from Eli Ubeistino and his Beistin. And David HaMelech was the Rosh Beistin. He and his Beistin was Makabel from Shmuel Ubeistino. The Achia HaShiloni Miyotse Mitzrayim Haya. So that's the Ravid says he doesn't know what he's talking about. How could he have been from the Yotse Mitzrayim? So the Ravid says that he learned from the Beistino Shel David. The Levi Haya, the Shama mi Moshe, by a katan be me Moshe, who kibel mi David ubeistino. So the Rambam says that Achia Shiloni, but that's interesting. Kibel mi David. So anyway, but to continue, David got from Shmuel, Achia Shiloni got from David. Eliyahu kibel me Achia Shiloni ubeistino. The Elisha kibel me Eliyahu ubeistino. The Yehoyada Hakohen kibel me Elisha ubeistino. And Zechariah got from Yehoyada, and Hoshea got from Zechariah, and Amos got from Zechariah, and Amos got from Hoshea, and Yeshaya got from Amos, and Micha got from Yeshaya, and Yoel got from Micha, and then from Micha it went on. From Yoel, who was the Talmud of Micha, it went to Nahum, and from Nahum it went to Habakkuk. And from Habakkuk, it went to Tzfanya. And from Tzfanya, it went to Yirmiyahu. And from Yirmiyahu, it went to Baruch ben Neriah. And from Baruch ben Neriah, it went to Ezra Beistino. And Ezra Beistino, who are called Anshe Knesset HaGedola, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Nehemiah, Mordechai, Zerubbabel, and other 120. And the last of them was Shimon HaTzadik. And then Antigonus Isocho got from Shimon HaTzadik. And now the Zugos begin. Yossi ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, they got from Antigonus. And Yoshua ben Prachia and Nitai Ha'arbeli got from Yossi ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. And Yehuda ben Taboi and Shimon ben Shetach got from Yoshua ben Prachia and Nitai Ha'arbeli. And the next Zug was Shmaya v'Avtalion. And the next Zug was Hillel and Shammai. And the next Zug was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rav Shimon ben No. Shel Hillel Hazakin. He says those two of them.
That's also, no?
And they, oh, okay. And they had five Talmidim. They had five Talmidim. Rav Lozer Agado, you following there? And Rabbi Yoshua, and Rav Yossi, and Rav Shimon, and Rav Elazar ben Aruch, and Rabbi Akiva got from them, and Rabbi Yishmael, and you got the point. And he continues all the way to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And therefore, here he is. It's something like 20... Is it there?
What's this list, though?
Oh, it's on the next page? Holy cow. Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's keep going. Now you know another place where it is. Anyway, Rebbe was tzach lashon. He spoke very... He wrote very smoothly. Umuflag. Umuflag. B'chol Adam. Mikol Adam b'lashon HaKodesh. And he had an excellent command of the Hebrew language.
Why is it a good thing?
What?
Why is tzach lashon like a phrase?
It means that he had a... What?
It's like deliberate.
You know, tzach means that he had a smoothness to his writing.
Oh, they do it backwards, though.
Oh, like the end of Mishnah.
The Mishnah was written very, like...
Right. But it's written very tersely.
Yeah.
But it was a skill. It was a certain skill that he had. Adhan Shah Chachamim, how you lomed him, perish mash nishtabe shalayim b'loshanam mikrim, yidivrei avodov misharsav. The Gemara says... Where's the Gemara? In Rosh Hashanah. Gemara there says that the Chachamim didn't know a certain word. You know, Greek was sneaking into Hebrew, and there were other languages. And there, this, but Rebbe, in his home, continued to speak Hebrew. And he had such a high level of Hebrew, it says that they even would ask his maid sometimes. The rabbis would ask his maid about a word.
Yeah. Korat the Megillah Sirogim. Oh, Megillah Sigorin. It's Yud Zayin Amenav.
Okay.
Chaf Chaf Amadeh.
Okay.
Yes. No,
no. It's in Yudzayin Amenav.
Vizem Aforsim Atamad. Vayalom Mina Osher. He was very wealthy. Behon Verov Hayecholes. He had a lot of political power, perhaps. Kamosha Nemarbo. Ahuryare Derebi. Havi Atir Min Shavur Malch. What's Ahuryare? What? His, no, his, right, his stable boy. His stable boy was more spitzed up. His clothing was more like regal than even the Sasanian king, Shavarmal. Sasanians were Persians who lived at the time of the Gemara. They were Persians, Persian descent, but they were a separate empire. They weren't the Persian empire that we usually refer to.
Atir?
He was decked out. He was adorned.
This is the opposite of the machik.
Yes, even his stable boy was decked out in clothing that was. He was the king of the Jews.
Luxurious, it's very luxurious.
He was the king. He was the king of the Jews.
He had to be king. To be a leader.
S-Z? S-Z? Sasanian? No, I think it's S. S. No, it's S E S S. A-N-I-A-N. After the Persian Empire fell, like, the Persians and Greeks fought with each other. You know, like Marathon, like the Greek polis, like, you know, the city-states, Sparta, and Athens, they all fought with Persia. That was Persia, like Darius and Cyrus. That empire fell. The Romans took care of them. And they felt Alexander, right? And they went off into the right. Alexander took care of them, not the Persians, not the Romans. They went back into Asia. Now, at that time, though, in the area of Persia, which is modern day Iran, so new empires came up. So there were Parthians, and these happened to be Sasanians during the time of the Gemara. The people ruling were the Sasanians, They were like fire worshippers also. That's why like you have Gemaras about like they can't light. You weren't it had to be dark. You weren't allowed to light candles at certain times. And they believed in they were Zoroastrians. This is Anians. They believed in Zoroaster and like the power of good versus the power of evil, or war with you. Like there's a good god and a bad god, and they're always fighting with each other. And you have to like the night is the shlita of the bad god, and the day is the shlita of the good god. That's what they were. Anyway. And also, he had like a tremendous amount of chachma, and he searched it out. For rebates Torah b'Yisrael, and he was a big teacher in Klal Yisrael. He went around and he collected the brises and the mishnayos from all the machloksim and all the things the rabbis were discussing. He was part of the chain. Shimon from Gamliel. And Gamliel from Shimon, from Gamliel, from Shimon, from Hillel, from Shmai ben Talion, from Yehuda ben Taboy, from Shimon ben Shetach, and they got from Yeshua ben Prachanita Arbeli, and they got from Yosef ben Yezer, and Yishtred and Yosef ben Yochanan, and they got from Antigonus, and they got from Shimon, and he got from Ezra, who was from the Shiari Achekanes Tagadola, and Ezra got from Baruch ben Neriah, and Baruch got from Yirmiyo, and then as you see in the bottom, he continues going all the way up to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Who did Yirmiyo get it from?
Yirmiyahu got it from Tzvanya, and Tzvanya from Chabakuk, and Chabakuk from Nachum, and Nachum from Yoel, and Bechulei in the footnote. V'chein kibel Yirmiyahu b'safik me asher kadmuam in a Nevi'im, and Yirmiyahu got it also, like we said, Navi mipi Navi ad hazakena mikubal mipi Yoshua ben Nun, v'hu mipi Moshe Rabbeinu.
Paper pencil.
What?
Paper pencil.
What? Paper pencil. What? Are there